Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. As usual, it's me, your girl, Berry Dakara, and this is episode 56. In this episode, I'm speaking with my cousin, Nene, about going back to school while having children. Before we get into her episode, just a little bit of housekeeping. I do need to apologize that the schedule for this podcast has been kind of wonky in the past few weeks, but I'm working on getting things back on track. And also, this episode, there was a little bit of technical sound issues, just here and there, little spots here and there. So please forgive me in advance. And what else? Hey, we have a new president, well, president-elect here in the States. I don't think I've ever mentioned on here that I became a citizen of the United States this year in January. This is 22 and a half years after I got to this country. So it's been a really, really long time. But I was able to cast my first vote this year, my dad and I. And I just feel proud that the person that we voted for won the election. And listen, I know that not everybody who listens to this podcast is on the same side, and that's okay. I think something that I have tried to show through this podcast is that we may not all agree on certain things. We may not all agree on everything, in fact, and it's perfectly fine. It's okay. And we can always agree to disagree and keep it moving as long as, you know, we are kind to each other and accepting that there will be differences, and that's okay. I think that's pretty much it. I am thinking about putting Mommy Oyoyo on YouTube. I haven't quite decided or figured out what the angle will be. I got an idea this morning though, so maybe that will work. But if you have any ideas for Mommy Oyoyo being on YouTube, please feel free to reach out to me. And if you have any topics that you want me to talk about, please reach out to me again. You can reach out via Instagram at Mommy Oyoyo or at Berry Dakara, whichever one suits you. But yeah. Let's see. Is there anything else? I don't think so. But yeah, this episode is featuring my cousin Nene. She got a second postgraduate degree. I mean, is it one postgrad? Okay, so I know a master's degree postgraduate. I'm not sure. Shisha has her bachelor's and also a master's and also this other degree. And she got the second degree in a year and a half. And in that time frame, she had one child and then got pregnant and then had a second child. And she's a teacher, and she was teaching through the pandemic and also trying to homeschool her child, her older child as well. And I just thought that it would be nice to hear from someone who's doing so many things, wearing so many hats, going back to school. I know that a lot of women kind of feel that once they have children, it might be too late. They might not be able to go back to school until maybe the children are much older. But Nene shows that it's definitely possible to do it while your children are still young. I just love that she was going after her dreams. She hasn't let marriage and motherhood slow her down. And I know that it's not quite the same situation for everybody. I know that not everyone can go back to school, but the point of talking to her is to show you that there is that possibility. Okay, so if it's something that you're thinking about, then start putting in the plans and the work to get it done. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. We didn't just talk about her going back to school, though. We touched a little bit on marriage, okay, and having your partner help you out where, you know, things need to be done. Talked about even like washing plates and taking the children for swim classes. Okay, we talked about self-care and needing to get your nails done and shopping for yourself, not only for your children. So it's an episode that kind of touches on so many different things. And I think that you will enjoy this episode as you do other episodes as well. But thank you guys for listening and for being supportive of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. I really love each and every single one of you. You have no idea. And it really just boggles my mind sometimes when I think about, like, I think majority of people that listen, I don't even know, like, personally, like, one-on-one. And it's just really astounding to me. And I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Let me stop talking now. Enjoy this episode. I will see you guys this coming Friday with a brand new episode as well. Bye.
Hi, Nene.
Hi, Berry.
Oh, Berry.
Sorry. What am I supposed to call you? I was just thinking, I'm like, we never discussed what her actual name is. What is your name? Is it Berry?
It doesn't matter. The last interview I had, she called me Anita the whole time. When I recorded with Kiki, I think she wasn't sure whether to say Amaka or Berry. So it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Amaka came out. I was about to say Amaka. I'm like, wait. Berry, Anita, I don't know which one to call you.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Anita is weird, please.
Yeah, we can go with, I don't know, whatever. No, whatever.
We'll just say Berry. Berry.
Okay, let's go with Berry then. Hi, Nana.
Hi, Berry.
Oh
gosh, that's funny.
Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. You are on the hot seat today. Is it on the hot seat or in the hot seat?
I think it's in.
You are in the hot seat. You guys, she's an educator, okay? So she knows all the English. You are in the hot seat today. All right, let's get started. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, your family life, and all your educational credentials and stuff, all the letters behind your name?
And not that many, but sure. My name is Nene Azamogi. I am an educator. I am a mom. So many things. I'm an educator. I have two children. I'm married, 11-month-old, and a 6-year-old who is a rising first grader this school year. I teach children between the ages of 9 and 11, which is somewhere around fourth grade. I teach special education. And I have a postgraduate degree, which is like a third level degree for educators, specialists. My specialist is in curriculum and instruction. And the letters she's talking about are the letters that come with the degree, the EDS. So, yes.
You have not updated your LinkedIn. I'm not very happy.
No, I have not. You're right. I have to. I should.
Yeah, you need to. Because you know what? Let me not even lie. Almost every day I get on LinkedIn and I go and search your name and I have not updated it.
Yes, I will. I just have not reached there yet. I will.
FYI, ladies who are listening, I'm not going to say to the gentlemen because you guys already toot your own horns. Ladies who are listening, LinkedIn is your way to toot your own horn and tell everybody the kind of professional that you are and all the things that you have achieved in your professional lives or entrepreneurial lives. So please, ladies, go ahead and do that for me. For me, that's your homework for today. Is get on LinkedIn and update it if you haven't updated it. Okay?
Yeah, I will.
Good job. All right, so you just mentioned that you recently graduated with your postgraduate, or rather you mentioned that you have a postgraduate degree.
Right.
To the people who are listening, the Mommy Oyoyo audience, she just graduated last week.
Right.
And FYI, it took her, it was what, 2 years?
About a year and a half, yeah.
Okay, about a year and a half it took her to get this degree. And in that year and a half, Nene was working full time. She was being a wife. Mm-hmm. She was, well, she started off as a mom of one. Yeah. And then she got pregnant. And then she had a child and was raising two children, a then 5-year-old and an infant or newborn. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hits early this year. So she starts working from home, mm-hmm. and also teaching her 5-year-old mm-hmm. at home while still pursuing her degree.
Yeah.
I do not know. I don't know how she
how
did
it happened.
But she's here and she can tell us how on earth you managed to get all of these things done. Like, were you on a schedule? Did you have a schedule for your life, for your week? Right. Were you just like winging it sometimes? Just how on earth were you able to work full time, yeah. take care of, you know, two children, one of them an infant, and you know, just do everything that you're doing? How are you doing it?
So this particular degree was it's actually very different. Okay, so when I did my master's, right, I had my she was then 3, I think. Yeah, I want to say she was 3 going on 4. So she was 3 when I was done. She was 5. She started out, she was 2, sorry, she was 2. And then when I was done, she turned 4. Okay, so I thought really that I had it, I knew what to do, because then, you know, you kind of find a structure, like, okay, I know I'm gonna go to class on this day. So on this day, I have to make sure that whoever is with her, make sure she needs to get dressed, you know, pajamas, whatever, whatever. And then I know that I'm going to, so I cook on Sunday. So that's, so, you know, you guys, a lot of you guys, not the audience because they don't know me, but my family, they know that I cook primarily on Sundays for the whole week. That's actually where that came from, because I could not manage going to school and Christine and working full time. All those things. So I had to shift something off from the weekdays. And that was where I started cooking on Sundays. And I started doing laundry on Saturdays and stuff like that. So yeah, I really, the first time I built like a schedule, I was like, okay, so I know I'm going to cook on Sunday. I'm going to do laundry on Saturday. Christine is going to go to school. These days were, at the time, I worked where she was going to school. So it was a little bit easier because we would get up and just go, right? When we would come home, I made sure that she went to bed at 7:30. So she was in her bed every night, almost every night during the week, as long as I could help it, at 7:30 every day. And there was no if, buts, and ands about it, because I would like clean up, do some other stuff before I start working on my schoolwork during the week. And the days I went to school, I really couldn't do anything when I got back, because it was close to 9, close to 10, maybe. Yeah, may have been close to 10. And maybe if she was like at your mom's house or she was with Kiki, you know, I would still have to pick her up if her dad couldn't pick her up. So those days were kind of short. So I had to shift everything. That's why she had to go to bed 7:30 every night. Okay, now that was the first one. you know, we kind of worked through it. It was fine. It was going along. And at the time, oh yeah, my sister was living here. So it was, you know, it was a little bit easier. This time, however, yes, comma, it was not as I thought. Because Christine and my five-year-old had gone into kindergarten. So I was doing more, you know, like pushing her with her studies and stuff like that. And I was working full-time, like you said. So I tried a plan, like I legit tried in the beginning. You know, she was still going to bed at 7:30. I never took away that. That always suited. Still going to bed at 7, but because she was so much more active and talkative and wanted to do everything, it was like I had a struggle. I couldn't get my work. So I couldn't get my work done the way I thought I could after 7:30, because there was still so much to do for her. I had to pack lunches. I had to make sure that her agenda was signed, make sure that we got all the things ready for the next day. So the schedule was not, it didn't really work out. At some point, I was winging it. I started making lists on my hand. Like I would go to work. Yeah, I would go to work in the morning while I'm sitting at my desk. If it comes to my brain, I will write it down on my hand so I don't forget it that day. Make sure that by the end of the day, I had gotten it done, because the schedule was really not, it wasn't really working out. Okay. Then I was part of this tutoring group. So there were days when I had to stay later at school. So that was another logistic issue. So the schedules were all over the place half the time, right? So yeah, I had to start creating lists. I had pens in my car. I had at my desk, like sticky notes while I'm just coming out of every look and cranny. Like even now, in this house, there's so many sticky notes just randomly at the house. And you just find Christine like writing on the sticky. I'm like, where do you get that from? Then I remember, oh, in the beginning of all this, I used to leave sticky notes everywhere. So I would just write it down, or I'll write it down in my hand. So I always had a Sharpie somewhere. So Sharpies don't wash up easily. Mm-hmm. So that's how we started. Then I got pregnant. And boy, I tell you, that was hard because the schedules didn't align, all my work was done in the night. So like midnight, I was working on schoolwork at like midnight, 2:00 in the morning, you know, and I started to go to work the next day. And then sometimes on Saturdays, I'll wake up like 4:00. Because I know that if she wakes up, I have to dedicate the time to her, you know. And she, remember, she was in, she had extracurricular activities. So she was swimming, gymnastics. So we were doing all these things and I couldn't really, and then I started to cook on Sunday. I started to do laundry. So all my schoolwork had shifted to like middle of the night. Then I got pregnant and my body began to take, it just changed everything. Now, when I got pregnant, because of the way I was feeling, I had to get on a schedule. And I had to tell my husband that he needed to get on board. I'm not going to say we did not fight. We did, because he was not interested. But I was like, look, yeah, I cannot take all this on. Like, it's not happening. So we had to, I came up with the schedule and then he just kind of jumped on board. So I now decided that, okay, her extracurricular activities, we had to move them during the week to the day when dad was off, so he can pick her up, or when he got home early, on the days he came home early from work, he would pick her up from school, and he would take her to those places before I got home from work, right? So that way, I would be able to get some stuff done, you know, at home without mommy, right? And then half the time I wanted to sleep anyway. So that's how that worked out. And then on Saturdays, you know, I would just block out that during the day, you know, the beginning of like from 9, I couldn't do the midnight thing anymore. So from 9 or 7, whenever I woke up, 7 to about midnight, to about noon or 1:00, I would just sit and just work. And she knew, we had had the conversation and I said, okay, I'm going to do my work at this time, and then we're going to do something else. And it kind of worked out because we put her swimming on that Saturday, so her dad would take her to swimming while I was still doing work at home. Then
I need to ask though, were your classes online or you were going to?
No, so I was going. They were hybrid.
Okay.
Hybrid. But for the most part, they were, but I went to class once a week.
Okay.
But it was like once a week for about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. And it wasn't close to my house. So I would have to leave. So on the days I went to school for this degree, I didn't pick her up from school. Her dad would have to do that, or she would stay in after school. Then when he gets off work, he'll pick her up, that kind of thing. So let me even rephrase that. That came later on in the year though, because in the beginning, I would have to pick her up, drive her to somewhere. Like I drove her in the beginning, a lot of times I drove her to your mom's house. And your mom would watch her, or I would drive her to Kiki's house, and then her dad would pick her up from one of those places. That's kind of how it worked in when I got pregnant. Then we moved the schedules. Then Sundays, that cooking on Sunday, I would make food, but then I shifted to start eating school lunch. So instead of making like a whole big thing, I would just make a little, you know, enough that my husband could eat and take to work. And we could also have a little bit. And then Christine and I, two to three days out of the week, we would eat school lunch. So I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, the lunch packing and all that. So that was another thing I added into it to make my life easier.
Okay, so when you mean school lunch, like she would eat lunch at school and you would eat lunch at school as well.
So
you were packing lunch from home.
No, yeah. So we would pack lunch from home like 2 days a week. So I would plan it during the week. So remember I said I was cooking on Sundays, yeah? So when I cook on Sundays, she and I would sit down and say, okay, what do you want to eat this week? This is what they have on the menu. And then she doesn't go to the school where I teach, so we don't have the same menu. From my menu, I didn't care, I'll eat whatever. But her, I had to make sure that she was gonna eat on that day. So we came up with the menu. Usually she eats on the days when they have tacos, which is Wednesdays or Thursdays, and she would eat the hamburger. So 2 days out of the week, I was guaranteed that she was gonna eat the food. Then we will pick one more day. Then those other days, that she would take food from home, maybe like jelly sandwich with chips or something like that, or curry rice. So one hot lunch and one cold lunch. So I made it easier for myself during the week. And then I pre-packed those home lunches so that it'd be easier on the day of just pick it up and go.
Okay.
I had to, you know, restructure how I was working my weekend so that I'll have time to take her where she wants to go, and I would have time for my schoolwork, I would have time to cook and stuff like that. So I had to restructure a lot of those things. Then what else did I do before Micah? Then the one biggest thing I did, I took cleaning my house off of my plate. So if you can afford it, and I swear by this, if you can afford it, you should outsource. Okay. So I was telling myself, oh no, I was killing myself doing all this thing, and I'll be angry. I've not finished my schoolwork. I can't do this. At some point, I just said, you know what? This life is too short. Please. I just started paying somebody to get. I'm not gonna say it was not cheap, because we are cheaters, we don't earn that much. But the peace of mind that I didn't have to do that, mm-hmm. you know, besides like spot clean and stuff like that, you know, because of course you're not gonna not clean. You just do a little bit here and there, because when they come, they'll do the big cleaning. So I took that completely off my plate. I was like, I don't want to have to deal with that. I'm good. So when I took that one off my plate, it freed me up to do other things. You know, I spent a little bit more time doing my schoolwork, a little more time, you know, with Christine, and being able to go out and visit people and stuff like that, because that was necessary for me, for my survival. I needed to be able to go somewhere, you know, to just not do anything that has to do with my house, cooking, schoolwork, anything like that for a couple of hours at least, right? So, yeah, that's what I had before Micah. Then, you know, you know my pregnancy story. So I worked all the way until Micah was born. And then when Micah was born, luckily for me, I had a professor, and I would encourage anyone who is pregnant and going to school. He knew I was pregnant at the time, you know, while I was taking his class. So beforehand, you know, I'd already had the discussion with him that if this baby comes, when this baby comes, you know, what are your expectations? Because and you know, you just pray that you have a good professor. This guy was great. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. When he comes, we're gonna figure it out. I'll give you the time you need to catch up on the work, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I was lucky that I had that guy, but I would encourage anyone to have that conversation. Have the conversation with the professor and be like, look, okay, so how are we gonna make it work? How are we gonna make it work when this baby comes? Because, you know, babies are a lot and stuff like that. So that's, yeah. So I was at home for a few, what was it? So I didn't go to, after Michael was born, I missed two classes. Then I went to the third class. Now, thanks to Omugwo, I, for those 6 weeks, did absolutely zero of any work whatsoever. So I can't even tell you that I even have a structure for that 6 weeks, because my mom practically did everything. She cooked, she cleaned, she took care of Christine, she took care of Micah, she did everything. So I really was, she just gave me the time to catch up on that work. And that's something also that is really necessary. If you're gonna have a baby or you find yourself pregnant at that time, if you can find somebody who's going to help you like that, or your mom, or you experience a mugwa, that's the time to use to catch up on all your work. And that's what I did. If I wasn't sleeping, or I wasn't pumping or eating, I was trying to catch up on my work. When my mom left, I still had about 4 or 5 weeks at home. So again, I had to find somebody to watch the kids while I went to school. And at that time, we still kept that 7:30 bedtime. Micah was on a schedule, somewhat of a schedule, so it made it easier for me. My kids are always on a schedule. Like that, them being on a schedule is so big, because I can see clearly when they're on a schedule, you know. I know that they're going to sleep, so I can start adding things here and there. But I continue to do my work at night, because that was when the house was quiet, nobody needed me. Yeah, continue to do my work at night. I ordered food a lot. That was not Nigerian food, like huge, you know, to save and keep. We did that. So that was a good thing. Those were those few weeks after. Now, when I got back to work, now
how long was your maternity leave?
I took 10 weeks.
Okay.
I had 10 weeks. Yeah, so my mom stayed for 6 and then the remainder 4. Those 4 weeks, again, I was at home, so my infant was on a schedule. So when he slept, I know that people say when they sleep, you sleep. But me, I was in school, so I could not sleep now. I had to do my work when he was sleeping, you know, try to get my work done and then try to do some work. And then I started to go pick my 5-year-old in the carpool line. So everything was timed. At this time, I'm doing this. At this time, I'm doing this. And at this time, I'm doing this, right? And then when she got back from school, it was kind of short until about 7:30, 8 o'clock when they were asleep. Then I continued to do my work at night, yeah. Then when I went back to work, my husband and I we had to come to an agreement again, which was a very difficult agreement, because he didn't want to do it, but he ended up doing it. And what he would do, he would pick them up from school to give me time at work. And that time at work, I would spend it doing my schoolwork after work at school, uninterrupted time. So I didn't have to do it at home, do a lot of it at home anymore. I would do it on the weekends. But that was short-lived, right? Because guess what? Pandemic.
Nah.
Yeah. So a pandemic, there was pandemic outside. There was also pandemic in my house. I'm not even going to lie. Because my husband went to work and it was just me and these two children. My schoolwork remained to be at midnight hours of the night. So I had no control over how I was teaching the kids online, the timing, right? So Micah was literally in almost every video, every teaching video, and there was nothing I could do about it, which was very frustrating. But then after like the first couple of weeks, I started, you know, we got in a routine, right? So again, I'm big on routines. So what happened is we wake up, or me, I wake up first. Before them, I shower. When I shower, I gather all my things I need for my teaching that day, and I would just wait or go and make it, you know, clean up the kitchen if there was something there, wash bottles, that kind of thing, while they're asleep. Then when they wake up, we will stay. Micah and Christine will stay in my room, and because I would be in Micah's room and I could see them, they would turn on the TV. So for the first hour, 2-3 hours, mm-hmm. Micah and Christine were just in my room playing or whatever, because my room is much bigger, so there's a little more space for them. That's what they would do. Then after those 2-3 hours, there was a little break. I would take that time and go and feed them, because my children don't really eat early. If we give Micah a bottle, he's good. So, and Christine, she wakes up, she doesn't really like to eat very early. So that gave me that 3 hours. So it would be like 10:30. Then we would go downstairs and feed them breakfast. Then I would have some more meetings. And then Christine will help, will stay with Micah again. They'll be playing and I'll be next door watching them do what they'll be playing. Then I would end for the day and take Micah to, no, I wouldn't really end. I would just end the teaching part before I start, you know, the extra meetings and all those other things. Then at that point, I would take Micah, feed him lunch, take him to bed. And Christine, I'll just tell her, please have your time by yourself. Then I go back on my computer and do what I need to do. Then when Micah goes to sleep at night, which around that 7:30, 8 o'clock, we started night school for Christine. Because I could not. The first 2 weeks, I tried to do her school at the same time I was working, and it did not work out. It was just all over the place, and we were both frustrated. I was mad all the time. She was crying all the time. Yeah, it didn't work
out. Right. So I was going to ask that for the audience, because yeah. How can you be actively teaching doing your job as a teacher, teaching your students, and then also simultaneously be teaching, like going over your daughter's schoolwork
right
with her from her teachers, like at the same time with, you know, your newborn?
I know,
right?
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, so those first 2 weeks I was literally holding Micah in one hand. I had my computer, I was talking, but sometimes I won't have my camera on, and Christine would be on the other laptop. On the house laptop. Me, I'm on my work laptop. She's on the house laptop. She's trying to do her work, and she's asking me, mommy, can you come and help me? I don't know what, can you? And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I'm like, okay, guys, give me 1 second. Talk to Miss Bell. Miss Bell is the other teacher in there. Talk to Miss Bell. I'll be right back. And then I'll put myself on mute. Meanwhile, I'm still holding Michael. And Michael is looking for snack or something. And I'll go see Christine, and I'll come back. After like the first 2 weeks, man, yeah, I could not do that. There was one day, that second week, I went into my closet and I closed the door and I just cried for like 30 minutes. I literally just cried. I think it was like the Monday of the second week. Mm-hmm. There was so much. And I think that day my kids, both of them had just lost it. They were crying. Micah just did not want to eat. Christine, and that was the time when he was having these sleep you know, the weekly, like 30 minutes short, those cat naps that are so annoying. So I was frustrated. I was at my wit's end. I just stayed in my closet. My kids were in my room. I don't even know what they were doing that day. I just wept. I wept for like 30 minutes because I was so frustrated. I didn't know what to do. So by the end of that week, I said, you know what? I just cannot carry on like this. Because don't forget, I wasn't cooking as often on Sunday anymore. So I was now cooking, you know, every other day or every 2 days, something like that. And Michael was transitioning from baby food to table food. So that was even another issue. Yeah. By the end of that weekend, I just said, okay, something has to shift. So, because in the past, shifting things has worked for me. So Christine had to go. I just freed that school thing. I said, watch TV. You people watch TV, play, it's okay. Then in the evening time, she and I just worked on her schoolwork. I gave her my undivided attention. Mm-hmm. We called it night school. And she was okay with it. She really enjoyed the name, you know, was something, I don't know if she found it very amusing or whatever. I'm not sure why she was very happy with it, but she was okay with it. And I think, let me say this, part of it is that, you know, she had my undivided attention.
Right.
And there were things that we could do together. Even though she's very smart, she can do things on her own, but I mean, she was five. So there's some things that she would try to read and she doesn't really understand. So I have to explain it to her. Or assignments that she needed to upload, she couldn't do that. So, there were many assignments that I needed to actually hold the camera so she can put her, you know, record herself. Things like that. So those, and of course, that would be frustrating to her now. So when we started night school, it worked out very well for her. And even the days we were doing night school, that Micah had not fallen asleep. His dad was holding him because we needed to give Christine that time. So I would just give Ben had to take care of Micah at that time.
I kind of need to interject here a little bit, because I'm reading this book called Fair Play.
Yeah.
And I'm only like, what, maybe 10% into the book, but the lady, she's talking about dividing non-work activities. So like your family mm-hmm. activities, household chores, mm-hmm. that kind of running the household.
Mm-hmm.
Dividing it between, you know, the woman and the man. Because in this day and age, you would think that, you know, men are more enlightened, women are more empowered, you know, men should be taking on more of some of the household stuff. But the reality is not, right?
Yeah.
And she talked about, this was just too funny. She talked about how she had traveled for work,
mm-hmm.
right? And early that morning, her husband sent her a photo that, wow, look, some guy dropped his jacket and like you think an empty beer can or something on the front lawn, like what the heck? And she was like, okay, I'm not quite sure why you're telling me this. And then she gets home, she gets on a plane, she gets home 16 hours later.
Please and don't tell me it was still on the grass.
It was still on the grass. Now had to go and discard. Oh, she said that she recorded the time it took for her to walk into the house, go back outside, pick up the stuff, put it in the trash, come back inside, wash her hands, whatever. She said it took her 12 minutes. And then she tells her husband, you could have done this in 12 minutes. Because it's not as if he didn't have any downtime, right?
Yeah.
The whole time. Well, he had time to watch TV. He had time to sit down and drink a beer. He had time for that. Yes, he worked, but he had all this time.
Yeah, all the time. 4 hours.
And he's telling her, oh, look, there's something on the lawn. Why can't you do it?
Hey, that is a question for the ages. I don't, you know, I can't think of it. I'm like, I don't, you know, honestly, see, I'm mumbling because that woman, like, I feel her pain. I've been there. I've been in her shoes. I mean, it's one spoon in the sink. I got to wash it. Why are you waiting for me to wash the spoon? It's one spoon. One.
That one, is
1 minute.
It's another topic for another day,
because I don't really get it. I do. I mean, it's definitely necessary for somebody who is wearing so many hats, including going to school, that their partner, significant other plays, you know, a role in making sure that the house is functioning, the children are, you know, things are running, because carrying all that stuff is not easy. I mean, I did it. So I, it's not easy. And it will cost, I mean, depending on who you marry, you know, it will cost, or who you're with, because some people are not married, which is fine, you know, to each his own. Depending on who you're with, I mean, it could or couldn't cause a fight, but I wish that is something that mostly men understood. That is really okay to take something. It's really okay to do something in the house, you know? And every day I tell myself, my God, you have the wrong mother, because I will not allow you to do this nonsense. If you marry a woman and she comes to tell me that you did not wash the plate, I will come to your house. I will stay there. And you will wash the plate. You wash it. Why are you not going to wash the plate? No. Why are you not going to vacuum? Nah. See, yeah. And they don't know that they're driving women insane. They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. At some point, I think I'm going to have another guy on the podcast to talk about sharing parental duties at home.
I feel like You should make it multiple men and multiple women. And let everybody have an input.
If it's not, yes. So if it's not a podcast episode, it might just be like a live, like Zoom call or something.
Yeah. One day,
like a proper event. Like, how do we really share parental duties and get the men actively involved? Because I think it's a discussion worth having.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
But back to you, though. So you were able to have your husband buy in a little bit to help you out with the kids, so that you could focus on work and also focus on your studies as well.
Yeah.
But of course, it all sounds like you're still quite a lot. So.
Yeah.
Did you ever, well, I mean, you already answered that you felt overwhelmed one day where you cried
in the
closet.
I did.
I remember this was right after the pandemic, when I chose to volunteer for this assignment at work. And I think the first day or the second day after training, when we were left on our own to do the actual work, and after that work day ended, I cried and cried and cried. Like, what possessed me to think that I can take on extra, right? With a child at home, I'm trying to work full time. I'm trying to, you know, work and productive, you know. So listen, the tears will come. There are days that those kinds of emotions will come. But like, apart from like feeling overwhelmed, do you ever feel mom guilt at all? Like, when you had to focus on one thing above the children, or focus on one child above the other child, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I guess I never really, you know, put anything as mom guilt, honestly. I never really put anything as mom, because at the end of the day, something has got to give at some point, right? And I have to be okay with that, knowing that, you know, as long as I circle back, you know, to kind of give attention to whatever I was lacking at the time. So yeah, there were moments where, you know, I was giving Micah more attention than Christine, or my work was taking precedence over, because honestly, I left my kids. I was literally just a body in the house for some time, you know, because my kids were playing by themselves. You know, a 5-year-old and then 6-month, 7-month old, you know, 8-month old, almost 8-month old. The two of them were just playing by themselves, and I was busy working. So there were times where, I was like, this is crazy. I have my kids at home and I'm spending all my time working. I felt, I guess you could call it guilt. I knew that I had to work, that I didn't have another choice, you know, and but I just knew that I made a mental note that when I shut it down, I shut it down. This is not to say I didn't have emails. So there were days when I was like, guys, I'm done for the day. And this is maybe like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 3. I'm like, this is my official clocking time. On the paper when I signed, my hours are 7 to 3 o'clock. Today, I'm choosing to use those hours. And I would just close down my computer. I didn't answer any group chats. I didn't answer any emails. I didn't answer anything. And I just sat on the couch with my children. You know, I just had to make sure that I circled back. There were days that, yes, I was, you know, really, I felt really sad that I couldn't help my kids. I couldn't play with my kids because I was spending this time working. Or we couldn't go outside to play because I had to work. Yes, there were many, many days like that. Many days I felt really sad that I just had to keep reminding myself, okay, you're going to pick a day this week, 1 or 2 days, and you're going to shut it down and you're going to work. You're going to shut it down. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to shut it down, take them with you, wherever it is that you're going, you know? So I would probably take Christine to the ice cream shop, or we'll get a cupcake or something. We'll go to Kiki's house, you know? Or we'll come to places. I mean, I just had to circle back. That's how, you know, it didn't turn into that overwhelming guilt for me, because I kept that reminder that, okay, this something else, at some point, you're going to tip the scales in, you know, the other way. But to answer your question, honestly, yeah, there were many, many days. There were even some days where I was sad that I was taking a nap.
Oh wow!
I was so tired, but I couldn't keep my eyes open to stay with my kids. So I would like send Christine to go take a nap, and I would send Micah to sleep because I needed to take a nap. They didn't need to take a nap. I needed to take a nap, but I needed a nap. And in my mind, I'm like, Nene, how can you be doing this to your kids? But I'm like, I can't. I don't have anything left to give. So everybody, just go take a nap. Just take a nap. Just go. And I can see Christine's face. And there's some days where she'll be crying that she doesn't need to take a nap. And why is she taking a nap? And I'm like, Christine, there were days like that, you know. But, you know, I just, in my mind, kept reminding myself, you got to make it up. You got to make it up. You got to make it up. So
for me, I see that as self-care, like you needing to take a nap. And that's absolutely nothing to feel bad or sad about.
I don't
nap often, but on some weekends when I just cannot even, I just can't, you know, I ask my mom, please can you just watch her for like an hour or 2 hours, or I give her the iPad, hey,
yeah,
want to go watch Peppa Pig, you want to watch Baby Bus, go watch Baby Bus. To my room, or I'll go to her room, whatever, just somewhere, and I take it. So what other, you previously mentioned that, you know, you take the time out to go see people, just you know, to I guess get some socializing done,
right,
and to not have to sit at home worrying about work, worrying about school, worrying about you know, family. What other, I guess, kinds of self-care do you do? Yeah, I know the one that you do now, but for the audience.
You do, yeah. So, before pandemic, before pandemic, I had a standing nail appointment. There is nothing that can take the place. I mean, of course, in case emergency or something like that, obviously, yeah. But you cannot ask me to come and go to the shop with you when I need to go to my nail appointment. Nope, I'm not having it. Sorry. Nope. My husband will say, oh, but, and you know, after a while, he learned to stop asking me anything about, if I say I'm going to the nail shop, he'll just say, okay, and just go. Because I don't back down on that. And I realized that a long time ago, because like you're saying, you feel like you're just working, and you're working for everybody but yourself. You're working right. for everything, you're doing everything for everybody, but you're not really doing anything for yourself. So I just, yeah. And you know, even when I started that self-care thing, I was making pennies. Like I was even making enough to do it, but I was like, no, I must. Even if it's just the bare, regular nail polish. I went somewhere and I got somebody to do it. Yeah. So even during the pandemic, you know how it was doing me to go to the nail shop? I was like, man, I really need to go to the nail shop, but I can't because of COVID. Then, because of nails, I went to go and find somebody. I found them that they have their own suite, their own, it's only one person, me and them. Yeah. Yep. So I made the appointment to go and get my nails done. Yeah, it really is necessary. And then the other one I added during the pandemic was every couple. So I decided that I'm gonna, and I've only done it once or twice, but every time I get paid, I'm buying something for myself. I don't care. Even if it's earring, yes. Even if it's earring, you know, small earring that I like, or, you know, a book or something that I want, something that I is going to make me feel cute or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And it doesn't have to be like clothes. Like there was one time I got paid and I decided that I wanted to go to the bakery to buy cupcakes. I got in my car and I drove there and I bought like 6 cupcakes. I didn't eat all of them one time, but just the fact that I did it because I wanted to do it at that time was fulfilling. So yeah, I decided that when I get paid every month, after I paid my tithe, done all the things I needed to do, I'll just take a little bit of my money and buy something that I really want. Yeah, the last purchase I made was I bought this Kate Spade lanyard for myself for work. It was like $20 though. I'm not spending too much, but you know, I look for the, of course, the sales. But if I like it and it's affordable, I buy it. I've come to the realization that, you know, we all work too hard to sit there and say, well, I don't really think I need it. Because guess what? If the kids need shoes, I'm not even going to hesitate, right? I'm just going to buy it. Or if I go to the store and I see, that's going to look nice on them, guess what? I'm buying it, yeah? But when it comes to me, I'm like, I'm not sure. So I decided that I'm not going to do that anymore. That's my awesome.
I like that. I actually like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Today, I went to TJ Maxx. I had my face mask on and hand sanitizer. I haven't been to TJ Maxx since last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was going to go and get vitamin C serum for my face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I ended up leaving with like $30 worth of skincare.
Yeah, I mean, items. That is self-care to me right there.
Right. Because I haven't really done much shopping, you know, mm-hmm. for a really long time. I was right. just trying to make ends meet and just, you know, make sure that Coco's daycare fees were paid for.
Right.
Paying off all these bills. And mm-hmm. for a while there, I mean, my expenses were more than my income.
Right.
So much so that I had to empty my savings account just to make the bill, just to make sure that the bills were paid. But thank God, you know, for, I guess, personal finance knowledge and management. So I was able to get out from that. But yeah, I think it's important to, you know, do something for yourself every now and then. I still feel, to be honest, I still feel guilty sometimes when if I spend a little bit of money on myself.
Right.
But it's like you said, you know, if it comes to your children, like, oh yeah, you won't even
open. I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. Right. I would just buy it. And then the funny part about it is that somebody like my son, I buy it and he waits for like 2 weeks.
And then grows out of it.
That's how big he is. And then I'm just going to be like, oh my God, I just wasted money. You didn't even need to buy that. And you bought it. And now you only wait for 2 weeks.
I totally get it. Yeah. But well done on making time for self-care. And congratulations on your degree.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I know it definitely was not easy at all. And I mean, you know, people have asked me a couple of times, like, oh, don't you want to go back to school? And I'm just looking at them like, how?
I mean, you can do it, though. You can do it. Hey, you can do it. So let me say something before. I know that we're rounding up, but on my Instagram or, you know, on social media, I posted, you know, I reflected on these, you know, because my first degree, I didn't have any kids. I had no attachments. So the second two, the two graduate ones, I was reflecting on them and I was saying to myself, you know, for people who want to do it, you know, you must have a like solid, you have a solid team, have a solid tribe. You know, people who are regardless, you know, when push comes to shove, they're ready to step in. It doesn't matter. They're dropping everything that, okay, we're going to take care of you because we know when it's our turn, you take care of us. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you need that. You need that. You need those kind of people. Then you also need to, you need to understand that some part of it is going to be hard, you know. May not be all of it, maybe all of it, who knows? But there are going to be hard times. So you have to accept that. Just accept. I mean, like I said, there were days where I was crying in my closet. So you have to accept those hard days and just keep pushing. Because there are some people that just get stuck in the hard days and they're like, man, I quit. I'm not going to lie. There were days when I wanted to quit that whole thing, especially when I had Micah. When Micah was still an infant. Ha! There were days I wanted to quit. But you just have to remind yourself, well, this day is hard today, but tomorrow it may not be hard. The day after it may not be hard. You just have to keep reminding yourself. And then just keep looking. Those little goals, little things. Yeah, you passed your exam or your test. Go and celebrate. Go and buy yourself Fanta. Buy Coke. Celebrate it. Because those are the things that are going to help you to get to the end, right? So there were some days I would leave class, I will stop at McDonald's for myself. I ain't giving nobody, I ain't sharing with nobody because today I made it out of class in one. So I'm going to celebrate that. Those little things, yeah? And like, I want to do the doctorate program, but I know that there was no way like I would go from the master's to the doctorate. So I told myself, if I finish this EDS program and I get everything that comes with it, that's one step closer. So the doctorate program is probably going to be shorter because I already did the EDS, you know, because that kind of leads into it. So I was like, yeah, just get it. And then the end, just get it. The end is that EDS. And then you know you're almost there. Just little goals, little things, little achievements for yourself. You celebrate it. Because you're the one that is doing it. It's not like someone is doing it for you. So you celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourself and then you just keep going. You can do it. Anybody can do it, man. It's hard, but you just have to keep pushing. Keep pushing.
Okay, since you said so.
Yeah, I got your back, girl.
Listen, so the one thing really is that I I don't know what I would want to go back to school for to study. Okay, so yeah. That's the number one thing.
Yeah.
If I figure that out, then maybe I'll go back. And of course,
let me know. Chad, don't do it when I started my doctorate, because we can't have two people in the same tribe going to school at the same time. Who's going to help the other person? Then we leave Kiki to help everybody. Kiki will just tell us, nah, you will go to where you're coming from, please. I don't need your help. I mean, I don't need to help you, but just go. Yipu's wahala is too much. So we have to time it right.
No problem. We'll time it perfectly. Perfectly. Not a problem. But thank you very much for being on the podcast today and sharing. We were just going to talk about you, studying and working and taking care of kids and everything, but we pivoted to other aspects of motherhood, which I really, really enjoy. Yeah. So thank you very much for sharing with the mommy community audience. Guys, the next time that she's on the podcast, she will most probably be Dr. Nene.
Hey!
Y'all need to put some respect on her name.
And I know some people who don't know are thinking, why does she keep mentioning you, me and you in the same space? Me and you. We're cousins, just so you know.
Oh, no, they all know, because at the beginning of the episode, I'll let them know.
Because I'm like, some people are going to be like, why do they keep saying? Okay.
Yeah, and her children are, Coco says that they're her brother and sister, so hey. That's how close we are. But again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We wish you all the best going forward. And we look forward to more wins and more letters behind your name.
Yay. Yep. Yes.
All right. You have a wonderful night.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.